Let's pray. Father and our God, today we sit at the feet of Jesus, worshiping you, God the Father, worshiping you, God the Son, worshiping you, God the Holy Spirit, and thanking you for the ministry of holy angels, and thank you for your revelation that there are at least 24 elders in heaven who were redeemed from among men. There are people up there already who were on this earth. And even before the 24, there was Moses and Elijah and Enoch. So there is evidence that people have already made it over the Jordan into the heavenly Canaan. Speak to us in your word today, Lord. And may each of our hearts come alive and be saved in you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. My sermon title today is drawn from the words of Jesus. Will Jesus really find faith on the earth? That question is very important, as it is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who asked it in Luke chapter 18 and verse 18. And we thank Amariah for doing our scripture reading for us. I see you're a preacher in the budding. The way you read that text, you were preaching, brother. Preach on for Jesus. And this quintet that sang, that was beautiful. Amen. Keep singing for the Lord. And I think they prepared on spot, because I asked them a little bit before worship service time, and they were able to come up and sing beautifully to the glory and honor of God. Amen. Amen. All right, Luke, at least you heard. Amen. Amen, Luke. So Jesus raised this question in Luke 18 and verse 8, the second half of the verse. He said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Clearly, Jesus asked this question in connection with his second coming, which is the consummation of the Christian's faith and hope. Do you really have faith in God? And that's a personal question for you today. Brothers and sisters in Christ, ladies and gentlemen, youth and young adults, boys and girls, that is the question for you today. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith in you? Will Jesus find you faithful? Do you remember what will take place just before the Son of Man comes? As Seventh-day Adventists, we identify from Daniel 8 verse 14 that the investigative judgment takes place before Christ comes, just before Christ comes. And by way of the investigative judgment, human probation for eternity closes. There is an active enemy of God and of humans who does not want us to think about the close of probation or any other matter of eternal importance. Satan also proposes alternate reality. And today that's mainstream in America. Alternate reality. But all his alternatives, including atheism and humanism, fall terribly short of the glory of God. Jesus is humanity's only savior. He started Bible Christianity and made it God's only true religion. But religious pluralism is eating away at true Bible religion. Everybody is now finding their own path. And everyone is now having their own truth and having their own way. Is that God's way? Absolutely not. Jesus himself says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way. Bible Christianity is the only true religion there is. But religious pluralism today is eating away at this, causing religious confusion. And the second angel's message denounces end time religious confusion, calling it Babylon and declaring it as fallen. Revelation 14:8 says, and another angel followed saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. This announcement is amplified with an urgent call in Revelation 18:1-5. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons. I want you to get this today, boys and girls, young adults, ladies and gentlemen. I'm coming back to this. We're going to find out what is Babylon today in plain language. Notice what this announcement says. Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of what? What does the text say? King James Version says devils. New King James Version says demons. Same thing. Now, do you want to be in a place of devils? Do you want to be in a place of demons? Well, God's heavenly messenger says Babylon is fallen and has become the dwelling place, the habitation of demons. It also says, and a prison. Which one do you want to go to prison? And a prison of every foul spirit. And a cage of every unclean and hated bird. And before we go to verse 3, remember how the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus at his baptism? In the form of a dove. What creature is a dove? A bird. And here the unclean spirits are seen as a cage of every hated bird. Satan always has a counterfeit. Always. Everything God does, Satan has a counterfeit. Make sure your worship experience today is not counterfeit. Make sure as you sit in church today, you're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Otherwise, you're just faking it. Babylon is fallen. Is the habitation of demons, of devils, the dwelling place of demons. A cage of every hated bird, a prison for every foul spirit. If you found out Babylon, what is Babylon today? What will you do about Babylon? Is it somewhere you want to go? Is it something you want to be a part of? No, this is serious. It's a very serious message I'm preaching today. And I ask that you pray in your heart and that we pray together. Revelation 18:2 says, this angel that came down from heaven cried mightily with a loud voice saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hated bird. Verse 3 says, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Verse 4 says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. This tells me in verse 4 that Babylon is a religious entity, because God's children are there and he's telling his children to come out. Can you follow? Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. Verse 5. For her sins, Babylon's sins, have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Now I want to tell you today, God did not call anyone to come out of the closet. That's popular today. Everybody's coming out of the closet. I wish some people just stay in there and start praying to Jesus inside those closets. He didn't call anyone to come out of the closet. That is confusion and that is worldly. God has called his people to come out of confusion, out of Babylon. That's where God is calling people to come out from. Out of Babylon. Will Jesus really find faith on the earth? Now, what are the sins of Babylon? I will also draw from the God-inspired sources of the Spirit of Prophecy writings in answering plainly. Here's the first quote for you today. It's from Testimonies to Ministers and Gospel Workers, page 62. And let me know if you don't believe in the writings of Ellen White. I can study that with you, why you should believe. Because there are people who don't believe, they never express it. The writings of Ellen White came to us the same way the Bible came to us. Amen. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Okay. I am not here putting them on par, because Ellen White herself says the Bible is superior. Lesser light, greater light. Bible is a greater light. Her writings is a lesser light, right? We understand that. But they are both inspired sources, inspired by God. And I want to read, and that's why I quote from it, because I believe with my whole heart that God inspired those volumes. And so page 62 of Testimonies to Ministers and Gospel Workers, and each of you here is a gospel worker, so it's a testimony to you. I'm both minister and gospel worker, so it's a testimony to me as well. Amen. Quote, the fallen denominational churches are Babylon. I wonder if you got that. The fallen denominational churches are Babylon. And let me say to you, that includes those that are called non-denominational. There's no such thing in America as a non-denominational church. Because even though they use that term, check their theology, it's a denominational theology they teach and preach. And most of it happened to be Baptist, by the way. Or Pentecostal. So people hide behind this thing that we are non-denominational. You actually nominated to go to church on Sunday at your non-denominational church. That makes you denominational. I could break that thing down. So let me read this quote again. Quote, the fallen denominational churches are Babylon. Babylon has been fostering poisonous doctrines, the wine of error. This wine of error is made up of false doctrines such as, number one, the natural immortality of the soul. They believe that when a person dies, if they're good, they're gone off to heaven. If they're bad, they go to hell. Or the Roman Catholic Church came up with one in between, that if you're not so bad and not so good, you go to purgatory. And you can pay a certain sum of money and the priest can release the person from purgatory for you. That's Babylon. So number one, the natural immortality of the soul. Number two, the eternal torment of the wicked. There's not a single person in hell. Not even Satan is in hell. He's right here on earth. None of the demons are in hell. They are right here. That's why God's people are called to come out of Babylon, which is the habitation, the dwelling place of devils, of demons. Because they're right here on the earth. You don't have to go beyond Maple Avenue to know that the demons are here. Nobody is in hell, not even Satan. And good news for you, God is in charge of hell. And hell is a future event. Hell is not a place. It's a future event, and it will take place right on this surface on which we sit and stand today. This will become the inferno. God will light that fire. And we'll get to watch from the front row. We'll have a front row view of Satan being destroyed. Yep, the Bible says so. So Babylon has been fostering poisonous doctrines, the wine of error. This wine of error is made up of false doctrines, such as 1, the natural immortality of the soul; 2, the eternal torment of the wicked; 3, the denial of the preexistence of Christ prior to his birth in Bethlehem; and 4, advocating and exalting the first day of the week above God's holy and sanctified day. Before I read any more of the quote, which day is God's holy and sanctified day? Which day is that? The Sabbath. Which day of the week is the Sabbath?
Friday, sunset, Saturday.
The seventh day of the week, sunset Friday to sunset Saturday, is God's sanctified holy day. Which day is the first day of the week? Sunday. So it says here, the fourth point is advocating and exalting the first day of the week above God's holy and sanctified day. These and kindred errors are presented to the world by the various churches. And thus the scriptures are fulfilled that say, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, quoting Revelation 18:3. Just in case you missed it, going to church on Sundays is a part and parcel of advocating and exalting the first day of the week above God's holy and sanctified day. Do not put them on par either. We have to come clean. Should Seventh-day Adventists be going to church, to Sunday churches? Question for you. Should Seventh-day Adventists be going to Sunday churches? Wouldn't that be confusion? Or Babylon, to use the term in Revelation here? Wouldn't that be confusion? God called a Seventh-day Adventist church into existence to be standard bearers of the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Every member is to understand and practice the relationship between law and grace. Will Jesus really find faith on earth when he returns? Friends, the first half of Revelation 18 verse 3 says, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And I will follow up with another quote from the same source, Testimony to Ministers and Gospel Workers, page 62. It says, it is a wrath, this wrath of Revelation 18:3, it is a wrath which is created by false doctrines. And when kings and presidents drink this wine of the wrath of her fornication, they are stirred with anger against those who will not come into harmony with the false and satanic heresies which exalt the false Sabbath and lead men to trample underfoot God's memorial. The dragon spirit. Friends, We got a glimpse of this spirit of anger in kings and presidents during the COVID-related lockdowns. I saw it firsthand. Those who didn't go along with the narrative, for example, like refusing the vaccine for any reason, were marked, singled out, ridiculed, derided as not being altruistic. All manner of adjectives were used to describe them. They were met with the ire of kings and presidents, just like our prophet said they will when the mark of the beast times come about. I saw the leader of one country not too far away threaten peaceful protesters that they will close down their bank accounts if they don't rescind from their protest. Take a lesson from what we saw. I told you before, my salary is directly wired to a bank account. And when I went there to use some of that money that I already earned, there was a sign on that nice glass door that says, "No mask, no service." And I just imagine you change the S in mask and put an R for the future. No mark, no service. Doesn't matter where you earn that money, how long you didn't. No mark, no service. The anger of kings and presidents, the rulers of the earth, against those who will not accept the false Sabbath. COVID time should have taught us something. The quote once again says, when kings and presidents drink this wine of the wrath of her fornication, they are stirred with anger against those who will not come into harmony with the false and satanic heresies which exalt the false Sabbath and lead men to tremble underfoot God's memorial. The health message. Anybody heard of the health message? Let me see your hand. Even the seven adventurers, you've ever heard of the health message. I see some hands. The health message that has been spurned and suppressed by many Adventists was quickly sacrificed and trampled underfoot for something that we don't even know what is in it. Many who are rejecting God's time-tested health message and well-done spirit of prophecy job were and are fanatically promoting and policing the Operation Warp Speed jab. My only sister, whoever became a Seventh-day Adventist, took the jab and it took her life. So men can say all what they want. I felt the pain in my own family. A blood clot hit her lungs and took her out on her vacation. Will Jesus really find faith on the earth? Friends, we are in this church reading through the inspired book Evangelism. We are praying for a fresh Holy Spirit spark of evangelism through total member involvement. Now, we are told in this book, Evangelism, on page 66, God's work is to be carried forward with power. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that God will add to the ranks of his people men of ability and influence who are to act their part in warning the world. Not all in the world are lawless and sinful. God has many thousands who have not bowed the knee to Baal. There are God-fearing men and women in the fallen churches. If this were not so, we would not be given the message to bear. Babylon the great is fallen. Come out of her, my people. End of quote. Many of the honest in heart are grasping for a breath of life from heaven. The quote continues. They will recognize the gospel when it is brought to them in the beauty and simplicity with which it is presented in God's word. Evangelism, page 66, also found in volume 9 of Testimonies to the Church, page 109 to 111. Our work is to be prepared for God's judgment day and to call others to make the same preparation. We need to cultivate a consistent prayer life, a life of Bible studies, and a life of sharing the faith of Jesus Christ. What do you say? You know, I think it's time we expand 10:15 to 10:15:45. Let's spend a minimum of 10 minutes per day in prayer. Let's spend a minimum of 15 minutes per day in personal Bible studies. And let's spend a minimum of 45 minutes per day personally studying the Bible with a person not of our faith. 10:15:45. We don't all have to preach, but we are all called to share our faith. There are different ways to do that. Amen. We even learn about singing, power of singing and music at our evangelism study class. Do you think it's time, though, that we all awake out of our spiritual sleep? Isn't now the best time for every Seventh-day Adventist to live and to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ? Will Jesus really find faith on earth when he comes? Let us learn from Jesus in Luke 18, 1 through the 8. Quote, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And the temptation is very strong today to lose heart. In this week that we are coming to an end, I had a discussion with a church member who said, I prayed for my dad and he's dead. I prayed for my mother and she's dead. I've lost many people this year. No, one of my brothers is also in the possible danger zone of having cancer. I don't want to lose my brother. But sometimes I don't feel like praying because it doesn't seem like God's going to answer my prayer the way I prayed. And many people are wondering today, what do I do about my faith? What do I do? What do I do about my doubts? What do I do about my questionings? That's why Jesus asked that question. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? In the parable, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And that's how we answer those doubts, lingering doubts and those questionings. Always pray and don't lose heart. Those are the words of Jesus. Verse 2 says, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what that unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him? though he bears long with them? Then Jesus gives the assurance in verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? This faith that Jesus is longing for in believers is part of a three-point formula of salvation. Paul mentions two in Acts 20 verse 21, quote, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks. One, repentance toward God. Two, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said in John 3 verses 3 and 5, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then verse 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And in Mark 16:16, Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Repentance toward God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and baptism, three-point formula for salvation. How will you respond to Jesus today when he asks the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he find that faith in you? Will he find you faithful? Sands of time are running out. And one day soon, time will collide with eternity. And only those who are found faithful to Christ, with Christ's faith in them, will be allowed to cross from time to eternity. What will it be for you? Would you have made your calling and election sure? When we were going up that highway and that driver was coming head on in the wrong direction, time could have quickly collided with eternity for us. Because when a person dies, the next moment they know will be the moment when time collides with eternity. That's how quick it is. We die and probation closes. Personal probation. The only time we have to make our calling and election sure is always right now. We don't have the next moment. We don't have tomorrow. We don't have next week. We don't have another 10 years. All we have guaranteed is right now. Any moment after now can be taken away from us without any warning. So I say to God's children here in this house of prayer at Elmira, do it right now. Surrender all to Jesus right now. Make your calling and election sure right now. Don't wait. Now it's traditional, or it's a tradition in the church that when we sing the closing hymn, we all stand. I'm not inviting everybody to stand. I'm inviting those to stand that are making this commitment today, that I'm making my calling and election sure. I'm standing as a symbol that I'm surrendering all to Jesus Christ. So, if that is your decision, then I'm inviting you to stand. And we go 608. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise. and press the bell. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed, shutting out the distractions. And we pray to our living Lord on his throne in his heavenly sanctuary. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father in heaven, our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, divine teacher and comforter, we bow in your presence as we come to the close of our worship service here at church today. Lord, we come now with repentance toward you, asking for the forgiveness of our sins, asking for your cleansing us from all unrighteousness, believing that through Jesus Christ and his life as a human, his sacrifice, his glorious resurrection, and his ministry in the heavenly sanctuary, believing that through faith in him, we have eternal life. Lord, most of us have been already baptized by water, and we're asking you for those who have not, that they'll do it very soon. But we all ask today for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptize us with power from on high. And as we go from this sacred place of worship, may we go with courage in Christ, with hope in Christ, with faith in Christ, trusting our salvation into your hands, making sure we do our part by surrendering all to you, submitting to you in everything. Speak, Lord, for we, your servants, are listening. As we go to fellowship over the meal now, help us to be mindful of those who have none. And may we do our part to alleviate human suffering all around us and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.